Hello, hello to all my wonderful partners. I pray the Lord today will bless you and minister His word to you and strengthen you and keep you in His love and His arms in Jesus' wonderful name. Well, I'm going to wait till you all come on. Thank you for joining me today for a blessed teaching this week. The names of God. I am going to show you what the Bible has to say about God. In the names of God, we see the revelation of the Lord Himself, and it is so precious when you begin to understand this truth of who God is in our life, you know. So I'm going to wait till you all come on, and thank you again for being my wonderful partner, and thank you for joining me. Many of you are with me every single day. We've become a great one family here. And to Jesus be the praise. And Lord, we come today expecting truth to be revealed to us. Your word revealed to us in a most powerful way. Give us hearts that will discern it, will understand it, will receive it. In Jesus' glorious name. And God's people said, amen. Now, you may have heard, you know, a similar teaching before. But I have so much information today. I just want you to sit and take your Bible and open your Bible to Genesis 1:1, by the way, to begin with. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand who you are in God. Because in this teaching, the Lord really begins to show us not only who He is, but also who we are in Him. So let's begin by making something very foundational and simple. Man's chief end, our chief end, is to know the Lord. That's why, Jesus prayed a prayer, and we all know it in John 17 and verse 3 that I want to read to you. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So when it comes to our Christian life, we live it in a continual revelation of knowing the Lord. Because why were we born in the first place? Why was I born? Why were you born? To find Him. To know Him. That's the reason for life. And so Paul writes in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Oh, wow. That I may know Him. I was reading this morning Exodus, where Moses said, if I have found grace in your sight, I want to know you. Oh, so precious. What would life be like if you and I did not know this wonderful Redeemer, Jesus? What would your life and I be like? I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about what my life would be like. I've said to the Lord many times, I said, Lord, it would be better to have never been born than not to know you and not to walk with you. So our chief end, our whole life is for one reason, to know the Lord. And through His word, we know Him more and more, because it says through the knowledge of Him, as His knowledge of Him grows in us, we will have what? Peace and grace in our life. Now, names have a lot to do with who we are. And I think this has, you know, a lot to do with this amazing teaching. For example, if you look at the name Enoch, it means dedicated. If you look at the name Noah, it means rest. You look at the name Abraham, father of nations. You look at Isaac, laughter. You look at Jacob, supplanter, and then he became Israel, prince. That's what the word Israel means, prince with God. Joseph, addition. Moses, drawn forth. You know what Saul means? Asked for. Asked for. People asked for a king. That's what his name means. Isn't that amazing? Because a name reveals who you are. Even we as Christians, prophetically, it describes who we are. And what does David mean? Beloved. Isn't that amazing? The actual name David means beloved. And he was God's beloved. I'm looking at Chad sitting here because he's operating the laptop and he's enjoying all this. So I will never forget. I will never forget. When I got saved, my name was not always Benny, by the way. I'm giving you a secret now. Huh? When my father named me, he named me after his own father's name. And then he gave me the second name, Benedictus. So my first name was not Benny. My second name was Benedictus, meaning blessing. And that's what it means, benediction, you know. So anyways, when I got saved, the Lord spoke to me to cancel the name that my father gave me because it didn't fit the call of God on my life. And he said, Benny. He actually said that, Benny. You know what Benny means, my son, you know. And my mom, when she got saved, she came to me one day, she said, the Lord said to me, you are his son. And it just amazed me. And to this day, I think about it. And we're all God's children, of course. But we have to understand that names have a lot to do with destiny, you know. So God's name has a lot to do with who he is too. Now, God Almighty, we're going to look at all of his names in the Bible. But first of all, by the way, while we're talking about this, I want to send you a gift. This will be another gift I will send you in July. But in June, I want you to ask for the meaning of the names from Adam to Noah and how you'll see the gospel in them. And all you have to do is send me your email and I'll send it to you. In fact, many of you already have received them. And the names of the sons of Jacob, their meaning and how it fits with your life and your relationship with God. I just sent that to a whole lot of you. If you want it, you need to send me an email, PastorBenny@benihin.org. The next teaching I'm going to send you, the names of God and their meaning. This is for July. So we're going to, all of June, we're going to give you the names we're already sending, but then these for July. Now, let's begin looking at the book of Genesis, first of all. So, there's a lot about the name Elohim, which is the first name of God himself in the scriptures. In the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heaven and the earth. And we all know that the name Elohim is plural. But what does it mean? It means might. The actual Elohim means might, plural might. It also means strength, eternal strength, basically. And it's mentioned in the Bible 2,570 times. Think about how important that name is to be mentioned in the Bible 2,570 times and 70 times. So, and the name Elohim speaks of greatness, speaks of glory, speaks of creativity, speaks of dominion, speaks of governing, and speaks of power. And that is, to me, amazing. Whenever you see the name Elohim, you have to remember what I just said. Might, strength is really what it means, but it speaks of greatness. It speaks of glory, creativity, dominion, governing, power. From Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:4, it's mentioned 35 times. Right in the beginning of the Bible, in just a few verses, you see the name Elohim mentioned 35 times. And really, when you look at that name, And what it represents, the real headline, is what? Authority. Plain and simple. So, the Bible tells us in Colossians, this is beautiful here. I want you to go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 16. And it says this, for by him, talks about the Lord Jesus, for by him all things were all things created that are in heaven, are on earth, visible, invisible, whereby they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So we know that the Lord Jesus himself is God. And so here we also see something powerful about the Lord himself. We see that he is the Elohim that created all things. By him were all things created in heaven, on earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers and so on. And it says in verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible Elohim, the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So the Lord, who is Elohim, is the one who created all. Now, I want to say something here that is so glorious. In Elohim, God speaks of holiness. In Jehovah, he reveals it. So Elohim is the name that introduces God. Jehovah is the one who reveals God. So there's a big difference between introduction and revelation. Only the believer can know him as Jehovah, because there's revelation in Jehovah. There's no revelation in Elohim. So when you see the name Elohim in the Bible, okay, it speaks of might and strength, and it speaks of greatness and glory and creativity and dominion and governing and power and so much more, and authority. But it doesn't reveal that to anyone. So people look up and say, you know, I see glory, creativity, power, wisdom, and authority. Even the unbeliever sees that. I remember a man named Phil Donahue years ago. He was like the Oprah Winfrey of today. He was very famous in this country. And he had a guest on his show. And he was not a born-again Christian, to my knowledge. But he began to talk about God. And the guest began to not argue with him, but almost try to change his mind. And Phil Donahue said, well, someone created all this. Someone gave us this beautiful world we are in. So I'm thinking to myself, here's a man who most likely was not saved. Maybe he got saved later, I don't know. But here he is acknowledging someone created this world, And Putin of Russia said recently in an interview, he said every human being has to believe in God. Even the atheists have to believe in God by just seeing creation. That was a profound statement coming from Putin of Russia. So the world sees his creativity. The only problem is they don't know him. There's no revelation of him in their own hearts. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. So I think this is so glorious. In Elohim, we see introduction. In Jehovah, we see revelation. So you may know God is holy. You know, I was watching something a few days ago, and in a beautiful cathedral in London, England, the people were singing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." And one lady in the whole audience had their head up, with thousands of people standing, and some of them weren't even singing, they were just staring, and some of them were looking in their hymnals, and you see there's no life in them, you know? And you saw one lady in that crowd with a beautiful beaming face with a smile and her hand up like that. And I thought, now that's one who knows the Lord. And here's thousands that know about him, but they don't know him. And that's really the whole difference. So, the word Elohim, like I said earlier, speaks of plurality and speaks of unity. It also speaks of majesty. My my dear teacher, you know, I'm learning Hebrew, as you know, and I'm a student of Hebrew University, and I'm loving it. Every Monday at 5 p.m., I'm in class. And dear Professor Segal was telling me a few days ago about the name Elohim. She said, in it there is majesty, because she doesn't agree with plurality, you know, because she's not of our faith. Anyway, she's a wonderful lady. She said, it speaks of majesty. I said, well, Professor, it also speaks of plurality. I said, that word Elohim is plural. Oh, yes, it is. But she said, you know, the Queen of England never says I, she says we. I said, well, fine. And then I got really excited. I said, you know, one time, even before that, I said, my God is one and my God is full of majesty. It was wonderful. Okay. Now, the word Elohim is given to the Lord Jesus. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 6 and also verse 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Woo, I love that. The Mighty Elohim. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Isn't that marvelous? And then you look at John 1:1, and the Apostle John presents him here to everyone as Elohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is Elohim. Thank the Lord forevermore. I love it. Now, here's something about Elohim that I want to say before I go on teaching Jehovah, because this is so powerful. You know, the Bible says we are created in His image. In Genesis 1, let them, it says, have dominion. But it says God created man in His image, in His image. Now, dominion, of course, ties us in with that name. But you know what the word image has to do with? Image has to do with character. Image has to do with creativity and creative ability. Oh, this is awesome. Why do you think humanity has such creativity in their ability? Because we're created in the image, in the character, in the creative ability of God Himself. And that word image, also like I just said, speaks of dominion. So Adam was created with such creativity like God to give names to all the animals. That's incredible. And he had complete dominion over the earth. So, once you and I are born again, what does God restore to us? His image that was given to us when God created Adam. But we lost it through the fall. But the Bible says now we are created anew in His image, anew in His likeness. So the character and creativity and dominion spiritually is given back to us. Now, I'm going to move on to talk about Jehovah, and I'm going to continue tomorrow. The name Jehovah, and Lord, I pray you'll give us tremendous insight on this now in the name of Jesus. The name Jehovah is found 6,823 times in the Bible. First time we see it is Genesis 2, Genesis 2 verse 4. Let's go to that, will you, together? Because there's something really, really powerful about this. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God, here we see the word Lord for the name Jehovah. That's the translation in the English Bible. When I read my Hebrew Bible, it says Yahweh. But the Jewish people will not say the name Yahweh because it's too holy. And so they say, Adonai, Adonai, Lord. So every time you read the word Lord, it's from the word Adonai. But the actual Hebrew says Jehovah. So when you read this amazing verse 4, it says the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. So Jehovah is from the Hebrew verb hava. You know what the word hava means? It means being to be. Hava, being to be. So when you look at the name Jehovah, here's what it really means. The ever-present one. The ever-becoming one. The self-existing one. The all-existent or existence one. So God does not live his life. God does not exist. He is existence itself. And that's what Jehovah means. And all of God's names, if you look at every name of God in the Bible, it's basically derived from his work, except the name Jehovah. Because the name Jehovah expresses God's personality, not just his power, not just his creativity, not just his authority and dominion. It speaks of him, the real person of God. So in the name Jehovah, we see a living being, not just a being, but a living being. And, you know, this is quite amazing. The only way to know the living Elohim, because God is life, but the only way to know the living Elohim is because Jehovah reveals him to us. So, you know, someone can say, well, there must be a God because of creation. They know there's a living being somewhere. But the minute you meet him as Jehovah, he becomes alive in you. Not only somewhere, but he's in you alive. Because the name Jehovah brings that life into us. So we begin at looking at something so beautiful that it talks about communion. It talks about relationship. It talks about fellowship. It talks about knowing one in fellowship. So when the devil came to tempt Eve, he could not say to her, hath Jehovah said. He did not know him as Jehovah God. So it says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said? He didn't say the Lord God. He said, hath God said? Now, amazing that Eve, having rejected God in her own heart already, did not call him Jehovah either. Because she said in verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but out of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim said. She should not have said Elohim. She did not know him as Elohim. She knew him as Jehovah, because when the Lord created man, he introduced himself as Jehovah God to Adam, as Jehovah God to Eve, which, by the way, her name was Adam anyways in the beginning. Because it says so in Genesis 5 and verse 2. It says, God called them Adam. It was Adam who called her Eve, the mother of all living. It says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. That's Genesis 5, 2. So we have to understand that not only the enemy, but even angels don't know God. The only way they know him is by watching us. And I've said that to you many times. That's found in Ephesians. In fact, let's go and look at it right now, even though I wasn't planning on teaching on that. I think it's really important that we see it. All right? Let's look at this amazing verse. This is Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So angels cannot know God Jehovah. They know God Elohim. They don't know God Jehovah because there's no relationship with them. There's no fellowship with them. No angel has ever been saved or filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why there's no relationship. No angel has ever looked and said, Lord, I love you. No place in the Bible does it say, I love you with an everlasting love to the angels. It says that to us because, oh, this is incredible. I want to shout that we are the only ones that can know him. You see, you and I are the only ones that can know the Lord. Angels cannot. The carnal man cannot. The wicked cannot. What a privilege we have. We can know him. And he reveals himself to us through his names, through the Holy Spirit, who uses his names to reveal God to you and I. In Exodus, I'm going to close with this today and go on tomorrow. In Exodus 3 and verse 13, we have an amazing cry, you know, out of the heart of Moses. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? How can I present you? How can I talk about you? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Moses, that was the first time we see Moses crying for, I want to know you. What is your name? What will I tell him? I am that I am. That's the first time God reveals that name to anyone. Thus you'll say to the children of Israel, I am has sent thee. And you know what? Even Abraham did not know him as the I am. Even Isaac did not know him as the I am, or Jacob. And I'll talk about this tomorrow. This is an amazing mystery. God did not reveal relationship and love till he revealed that first to Moses. And he said to Moses, he said, I was not known to Abraham by that name. I was not known to anyone by that name. I'm giving it to you to give to Israel. Wow. To know the Lord like that? All right, I'll answer the question tomorrow when I deal with, did Abraham know him in that way, in that fellowship, in that union? We'll talk about that tomorrow because it's a very interesting answer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have given us in you. I pray, sweet Savior, sweet Redeemer, that we might know you in depth, Lord, and walk with you in deep, close, intimate fellowship and union with you daily, Lord, daily. Bless your people today. Minister to your people today. Bring them into a deep place in you, Lord, today, in Jesus' sweetest, wonderful name. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise, wonderful Savior. Oh, dear goodness, I feel the blessed, mighty power of God right now as I'm praying. Lift your hands and thank him for the privilege that we know him. And Lord, increase your knowledge. Increase that knowledge in each one of us for your glorious name's sake. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, this is amazing. Someone has just been healed of arthritis. Someone has just been healed of severe arthritis, especially in your shoulders. You're supposed to go to the doctor, I think, today or tomorrow, and you've just been healed. There's healings happening around. I didn't even expect it. Lord, heal everyone. Heal everyone. Migraine headaches have just been healed. An ear infection is being healed. Oh, dear Lord, thank you. Someone was in a car accident. You've injured your back severely. You are on heavy medication. The pain is still not gone. It's still there. And you just felt electricity go right through that body of yours. Would you mind getting up and just moving around? The pain is gone. To you, Lord, be the praise. There's a severe lung problem being healed. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. People, lift your hands and just receive right now your healing from the Lord. whatever you're asking for. In Jesus' name, we receive it. And Lord, bless them financially too, Lord. Bless that one and give them peace. Those, Lord, who are right now worried about their finances or future in finance. In the name of Jesus, meet that need, Lord. Answer that prayer. Lift that burden up, Lord. Take care of that situation. Wonderful Savior, I give you praise. I see a lady. I see you wearing a dress with flowers on it. You're going to the bank today to get a loan. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to get deeper in debt. If you will simply trust the Lord, there's a check coming your way supernaturally. I'm telling you, I'm talking to a lady. I see her face. You have short hair, glasses. Your complexion is brown like my face. You're not a blonde woman. You've got brown hair, somewhat a little curly. You're in your maybe 40s, maybe late 40s, somewhere there, maybe mid to late 40s. You have a problem to do with your home, and you wanted to go for a loan. And the Lord is telling me to, and I see flowers on your dress. The Lord is telling me to tell you, you don't have to do that. You're going to get in deep trouble financially if you do that. God says to me to tell you, trust Him, rely on Him, be faithful to Him, and a check is coming your way from an unknown source. You're going to see it happen. Just give it a few days. Okay. Lord, in Jesus' name, minister and meet every financial need in your holy name. Amen, amen. Dear Lord, I began ministering the word and just the anointing came. All right, it's time to sow seed into the Lord's work. You know what to do. And you know what the Bible says. And we are commanded, this is not an advice, we're commanded to give to the Lord's work so He can bless us and protect us financially. The information is on the screen for you. Go ahead and just follow what it says. And you can go right there and just push what it says donate. You can go to benihin.org, our website, or you can simply text it on your phone. BHM 45777. Someone is getting a new piece of property. There's a man watching me getting a new piece of property. You're a young man, late 20s, early 30s. God is giving you a piece of property that you've been praying for. Much blessings to you, and I'll see you tomorrow for a wonderful day again. And pray that the Lord's anointing will flow like this again, will you? Love you. Bye-bye.